It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Will the next Apple Watch have LTE? How cool! We talk about what to expect, what it might cost, and more. Tracking your heart rate during Game of Thrones with the Apple Watch. Reviews of infinite filters. The Apple Store app and Twistoflex Apple Watch Band, a blast from the past. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 201, recorded Sunday, August 13th, 2017. Resistance is futile.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Great to have you here, Vincent.
Good to be here, Tom.
Hey, so what's going on with you this fine morning? Anything?
Not much. Just catching up on all the news about Apple Watch 3 coming out. So
yeah,
super excited to talk about it.
We have a lot to talk about. And also joining us from, I think, an undisclosed location in the Midwest is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. It's the dog days of summer. I guess unless you're in the southern hemisphere, then it's a dog days of winter?
I don't know how that works.
Something like that. Oh, welcome. And it's good to be here.
Yeah, you're like an hour ahead of us now, right? You're in the future a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, and this week I was way ahead of you until I flew back from London. So nice to be back in the United States.
Yeah, so tell me, you're from the future. Are we getting an Apple Watch 3?
We are, yes. but the question was, is it have LTE service or not?
That's the big question. Exactly. That's the big thing. Hey, have both of you kind of recovered from our 200th episode last week?
It was a bit abnormal, yeah.
You know, I was hoping that Crowdcast service would be the answer and we could kind of do video shows from time to time, but the results were not what I was hoping for. We had some connection issues, obviously. That was amazing in the middle of it. And people had trouble logging on. I heard from a number of people, listeners, different devices, the quality of the audio and the video were, in my opinion, almost embarrassing. So I apologize for that. I'm very sorry. Sometimes you try something new and it's great and other times it's not so great. So, you know, I guess we could have used something like Facebook Live, but I also need a recording of the video and audio. I'm not sure if that's available from Facebook or if you could get multiple people on, you know, I'm not sure that was really a solution, but if I find another service that I think would work, we may try it again. The good news is our winner from the show, Dan Rayner, let us know that he purchased a Time Porter case for the Apple Watch to carry his bands in and charge it on the go. He then let me know that it didn't work out for him since it wouldn't close with his bands and the charging brick in it. So he's sending it back. Yeah, sounds like somebody has too many bands, like someone else I know. But we'll let you know what he ends up with. And thanks for the update, Dan. Keep us posted on that, on what you actually end up with from the show. So that's nice to know.
Next time, I'll just make sure I get a trip to Houston. And let's do it from your recording studio all in the same place.
There's not room.
Oh.
It's not really room.
I had a good idea.
We actually tried that once. We did an interview with, I think it was Ken Siegel, wasn't it, Vincent? And Vincent came over in the studio. And we both, even though we're at like opposite ends of a table, and again, I'm not an audio engineer. I didn't quite get this thing set up. It was in the early days of the show. And it was terrible because his voice kind of bled through onto my microphone because we're in the same room, and it became a difficult thing to edit. And I'm sure there's a better way to set that up, but it just didn't work. Maybe we had the wrong microphones at the time. I don't know. Anyway. So back to our normal format here. Rest assured, we're not changing the music. So that was loud and clear. We are not going to mess with it. I also want to mention Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/AppleWatchcast, you can support this show, and you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month and receive some cool stuff from us. So you get a shout out on the show, access to bonus episodes. You get official Apple Watchcast mugs, a special Apple Watchcast band. And even at a certain level, you can be a guest on the show. Still waiting for someone to take us up on that. So check us out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast to subscribe, become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. And I just want to thank all of our Patreon supporters. We really do appreciate it. Anything else you guys want to mention before we dive in?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks to the Patreon folks as well.
Yes. Your support, it does mean a lot to us, and it does help keep us going. So if you haven't yet, take a moment, check out the page, and if you can support, we'd really, really appreciate it. All right, well, let's dive in. We got a lot to talk about. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast News.
All right, time for the news. So nothing really much happened this week. No, there's a few things that we want to talk about. The first thing, and it was everywhere you looked, there were a report. This came from Bloomberg. I think they got the ball rolling on this, and then everybody else picked it up. But they're saying Apple is adding LTE to the next Apple Watch, and there was even rumor of a new form factor for the watch. And that came from John Gruber, of all places, who's a, you know, when he says something, it's because he knows someone in Apple, and it usually is true. His accuracy rate on predicting stuff is phenomenal. But then he kind of backtracked it. He said that a new form factor is also coming this year, and then he kind of claimed that tidbit came from an unconfirmed little birdie, so I wouldn't bet the house on it. So maybe that one's not going to happen, but the idea that Apple would release an updated Apple Watch by the end of the year with built-in cellular connectivity is very interesting. The report says that Intel will actually supply the LTE modem that will be used, and that kind of snubs who is it? Qualcomm. Right? Mm-hmm. So, but isn't Apple kind of in a battle with Qualcomm right now, like a legal issue? So
I think there's legal issues between all the tech companies.
That's true.
Ongoing. Yeah, constant. But yeah, they are. They're in a pretty big battle with Qualcomm.
Yeah, so that doesn't surprise me. Now, the report says Apple Inc. is planning to release a version of its smartwatch later this year that can connect directly to cellular networks, a move designed to reduce the device's reliance on the iPhone. People familiar with the matter said. I don't know who that is. That could be anybody. But very interesting wording here that says designed to reduce, not remove, the reliance of the phone. So it seems to me that this is not going to mean that you could use an Apple Watch with any phone. That you know, I think you're still going to have an iPhone to make phone calls. Mm-hmm. But I think what you will be able to do is things like streaming audio, sending messages, those sorts of things, right?
Huh.
Yeah, it'd be great to stream audio. I'm really looking forward to kind of just linking up to Apple Music and just picking something that I feel like listening to when I run versus just the one playlist I have on there that I keep playing over and over again.
Yeah, that'd be a big point right there, that you could stream music through it.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
I think that's the ultimate discussion is it's not necessarily just LTE, but what can you do with the limited resources you have with the battery and all.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. There was another article here. This is from ZDNet by Adrian Hughes. And the headline of this is Why You Shouldn't Get Too Excited About an LTE Apple Watch. He's saying think small steps forward, not big leaps. And he's making the case that Apple doesn't make big moves these days. They make small steps, not giant leaps. So, yeah, he's basically saying this is not going to be cutting the ties to the phone completely at all. And the main problem is battery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is some low version a low power version or low bandwidth version of LTE. It's called LTE M and LTE Cat 1. Now they could use those, but they'd be slower in speeds.
Yeah.
But we don't know. We don't know what this is going to be, but it is interesting that Apple is, that these rumors are starting to fly right now. This is mid-August. You know, if this is going to be announced next month, and typically this is the time a lot of the real stuff starts to leak. So maybe we might be getting this.
Yeah, it would be huge. It would be huge if you could use the watch without the phone at all. I mean, my son is getting to a point where he needs to have a device to call home. I'm not right yet ready to give him a full-on phone, but like a watch with the ability to either text or make quick phone calls or something like that to let him, you know, contact me, mm-hmm. would be a tremendous addition to kind of like the lineup. I mean, you can actually now have, you can be a part of the Apple ecosystem without necessarily plunking down for an iPhone or, you know, carrying around an iPad.
Right. But, and not to mention cheaper than getting an iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, right. Mm-hmm. You know, the cost of a watch versus a phone. The phone these days is just, wow. I mean, the rumors for the iPhone 8 are off the charts on cost.
Well, the watch will have the LTE option. So kind of like the other devices, or the iPad, right, where you can have the, was it like 125 or something more to buy the LTE service. Just matter if that's the same pricing kind of option we'll have. But hadn't thought about that, Vincent. That is, you can buy your son just a watch, which is cheaper and more secure, and for him, right, he's not going to be carrying that device around.
What's crazy is though, it'd be like a $500 watch.
It would be,
yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. And they're probably only going to have it in one model. Right.
Right.
And it'll be the high end model, probably. Yeah. Oh, that'd be terrible if it was just in the ceramic. That would be terrible. Don't do that, Apple. Give it to everybody as an option. But yeah, you're probably going to pay a little bit more for it. You're right. Now, who is it? Samsung Gear S3. That watch already has LTE. Mm-hmm. And that battery life is supposed to be good for up to 3 days. I don't know how they're doing that.
Is it huge? Yeah.
It must be. It must be twice the size of an Apple Watch on your wrist, right? It would have to be in order to do that, right?
Or you just, it doesn't do anything that uses the battery throughout the day. I saw that, you know, it's just amazing. How could it be 3 days? And the size that they have on your wrist, it must be one great battery.
Right. But again, according to this article on ZDNet, and I think this is kind of sums it up perfectly, that this is going to be evolutionary, not revolutionary. It's a step forward in that Apple the whole gist of this article is that Apple wants to continue to give you new models that you continue to buy. So they're not going to come out with everything at once. But mm-hmm. I think they're also running into just physics, right? I mean, there's only so much they can do despite what all of us want. You know, physics and electronics and engineering get in the way of that.
What if you could put the LTE and the battery in the band? I mean, that's the option, right? The alternative is to add that feature onto your existing watch.
Now, we've seen a lot of Apple patents for that sort of thing. So, wow, that would be amazing. Now, that would be almost revolutionary, wouldn't it?
It would. We've talked about that a lot, and I think that would, quote, solve a lot of problems because you can fully extend the battery life to multi-days with the band.
Right.
So just a matter of that would be revolutionary. Now, the question is, Tom, is evolutionary versus revolutionary adding LTE just to the high-end watch? Because they're going to have to do it, and I don't know if that's revolutionary. It's just kind of, you know, adding a great feature.
Right. But it's not complete LTE, I guess, is what we're saying, that they're not going to give it to you all at once. They're going to give it to you in pieces. You know, this year it's going to be limited LTE, right? And then maybe next year, this time, we might come out with one that's, you know, boasts full LTE. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. Apple, you know, and I got to wonder if they did that. Let's say Apple did that. They had a band that had great battery in it, and it had a full LTE. You can make calls. You do all that kind of stuff. Would that, as Vincent just mentioned, a great case for that, a great scenario, would it cut into iPhone sales?
It would get you to be sucked into the system. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't think it's gonna. It'll prevent you from getting an iPhone sooner, but I think you're gonna end up getting one anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think you will.
Yeah, well, resistance is futile, right?
Exactly.
No, and after you mentioned the price, Vincent, I guess if you have a young child and you wanted to not get them a phone but get them a watch. Mm-hmm. Keeping track of a $500 watch might be harder than keeping track of a $750 phone, because maybe. People lose watches all the time.
Yeah, and the fact that they're very active. I can't mm-hmm. Imagine him coming home with a cracked watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the face pops off from the battery.
You hope not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Series 1 back.
Oh, good.
I guess, yeah. So okay. We sent the beta in after the screen popped off, and then it came back very quickly.
Was it just in that special packaging with just the watch itself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of cool packaging for a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. A number of listeners have done that too. Okay, well, that's interesting. So we'll see what happens here. We'll keep you informed as the rumors continue. Another thing that happened this past week, and I'm not sure if it's still going on, is that Nike was offering 30% discount on certain Apple Watch Nike Plus models. So for the 38-millimeter Apple Watch Nike Plus, the price dropped from $369 to $258.97. While the 42-millimeter dropped from $399 to $279. So, huge price drop. Now, that only, on the 38-millimeter, it's just the Apple Watch in silver, white, and black, cool gray. For the 42-millimeter models, it's only available for the silver, white, and the black, silver configurations. The 42-millimeter white platinum and the Black Vault, which are very popular, are not included in the sale. So I'm not sure how long that is going on, but you might want to check it out. This suggests a new watch is coming.
Definitely. Sure.
Yeah, that they're offering this.
Well, it has me thinking about replacing my mother's watch. You know, she has the beta, and I'm actually here, you know, with her and talking mm-hmm. to her about it. And I'm like, you know, she really doesn't need the three. But the two would be nice because of the waterproof and everything. And I'm like, wow, this really has me thinking to just go buy one.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't apply to the Nike bands. If you just want to buy a new Nike band, it's only for the watch. So, but anyway, check it out if you're in the market for one that may be only there for a little while.
You know what's crazy is that you never see Apple never goes on sale, right? I mean, if you're going to buy a watch, you're going to wait for the third parties like Nike and Target and Best Buy to give you a discount.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting whether or not their sales just kind of plummet at Apple. Like Chris, you're saying, you're not going to go to the store to get it. But yeah, right. It's a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, for Apple, this has got to be tough because this happens every year. This time of year, no one is buying a phone unless you absolutely have to. Everybody's just going to wait and see what the new one is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even if you need a new phone, you're going to wait till the new one comes out. And you might, some people may buy the lower, you know, the sevens because they're cheaper.
Exactly. And then the same thing with the watch now. I have to believe that sales of the Apple Watch have slowed this past month.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I don't know if I told you guys, I bought my daughter's watch at Best Buy when it was 20% off. And the experience of getting a cheaper watch was great, but the experience of interacting, I think I did tell you about it, because remember I said I actually sold two or three watches to people that walked up while the guy was in the back trying to find the one he wanted for me.
Oh, yeah.
But the experience just wasn't as pleasant as going to an Apple store. But hey, I saved 20%, so, you know, it evens out.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of the iPhone, this isn't necessarily Apple Watch related, but I just thought it was so cool we had to talk about it. Because it may have an effect on the watch down the road, but the iPhone 8 facial recognition appears to support payments, multiple faces, and third-party apps. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
This came to us again, I think, from some code that came out of the HomePod firmware. And someone by the name of
Rambo.
Rambo. Last name Rambo.
Rambo.
I wonder what Rambo was up to these days. According to the string of code uncovered by Rambo, the facial recognition feature coming in the iPhone 8 appears to support Apple Payments, Apple Pay. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So I guess they're calling the internal code name for the face recognition is Pearl from Apple. Mm-hmm. And apparently in this code, you see all sorts of payment type stuff with Pearl. And then there's a thing called back Pearl and front Pearl. So they're thinking that both cameras would support this.
Right. I was a little confused about that whole thing until I saw a video on CNET. I think Brian Tong was kind of talking through it. And I was like, oh, yeah, they're taking away the Touch ID. So they need something to authorize the payment.
Right.
So the camera in the back is like, oh, okay, you can look at your face.
So according to this, it said that facial recognition, according to Apple's version of it, is said to be faster and more secure than Touch ID. It can unlock an iPhone within a few milliseconds, and it captures more data points than a fingerprint scan. And they also say it works when the phone is laying flat on a table, and it mutes notification sounds when a face is in view.
Interesting. Yeah,
if we had the clapping sound, we should play it here, because have you ever done something where your fingers are sweaty or something's unusual and you cannot unlock your screen and it's frustrating? I would love to just show it my face and say, boom, ready to go.
You wouldn't even have to show it your face. It's already seen it. That's the cool part, is that you don't have to do anything. It knows it's you.
At an angle.
At an angle.
Yeah, so, an angle.
So this camera band that's supposedly coming with the camera in the band of the watch, how cool would that be with facial recognition as well?
Yeah. That'd be kind of neat.
Wouldn't have to unlock your watch anymore for anything.
Mm-hmm. That would be neat.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, I was thinking about the facial recognition comment that I did on a previous show in terms of twins. And then I read a little bit further about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, it uses the veins in your face and the structure of your face. It can actually see under your skin. So I'm assuming your vein patterns and stuff like that, whatever infrared is what it actually picks up.
So those are different in twins?
I would imagine so.
Huh.
And so that way it's not just you're not holding up someone's picture.
Right.
And trying to unlock their phone.
Wasn't that was famously done with Android, right? That people would
something like that.
Take photographs. There's YouTube videos of that, using photographs to unlock phones.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of creepy, though. That's kind of like scanning your face.
Exactly.
Like below the surface of the skin.
Right.
That's a little weird. Let's see what else is going on. Oh, Overcast. This is kind of depressing. I think I understand why. Everybody here knows we mentioned in the past the app called Overcast that allows you to download podcasts to your watch, right? Feature everybody wanted. The developer, Marco Arment, is now saying that with the changes in watchOS 4 is killing this feature. So, unfortunately, the send to watch feature was removed from Overcast, and he's blaming it on watchOS 4. He said, and this was added back in April, he said it depends on a common workaround for background audio in watchOS 3, and that workaround has been broken in watchOS 4. And he says, although there is one alternative to it, it wouldn't be good enough to confidently ship, and he'd rather spend development time on requested features for the iPhone and the iPad.
What is this alternative? Is it LTE download?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that if we're getting an LTE watch,
mm-hmm.
and you can stream music from it, you can stream podcasts from it. So why would you even need this, right?
Right.
It said that's why it was maybe broken in watchOS 4. I don't know. That's all speculation, but kind of makes sense. Now, he also said that as few as 0.1% of Overcast users were actually taking advantage of the send to watch, and there were many negative reviews.
0.1?
That was me testing it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
That was it.
People.
I may be the only one that did it. Okay. That's amazing. Anyway, so hopefully that's what's happening, that we'll have a better solution here shortly.
I hope so. I mean, when I run inside, I love listening to podcasts as much as music, but outside, it's all music. And there's sometimes I really want to listen to a podcast.
Exactly. And I guess the only bad part here is it requires you to buy a new watch. You know, if that's indeed what's happening, it'd be mm-hmm. nice if there was still a solution for people with the Series 1, Series 2, and the first-gen watches, right? So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of watches, Fitbit, you know, they've been working – they've had some issues lately, and they're working on a new watch line that's supposed to really help the company. And there's been some leaks with the design. Did you take a look at these images?
Yeah. I did, yes.
Ooh, not pretty.
Yeah, not at all. The first thing I thought of, Tom, is like, I don't know why it reminded me of this, but it did. It reminded me of, you know, being at Disney World walking into the Space Mountain. I mean, it was like, you know, something that was really, I need to have and walk into Space Mountain than it was something I'd walk around just, you know, day to day.
Yeah, I mean, some of the comments here, it looks even less premium than the Blaze, which was their high-end version of their watch, but
yeah it looks rocky.
The industrial design on this is not friendly, a lot of sharp angles on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's subjective, right? It's design, but when you look at the Apple Watch and some of the competing stuff, it doesn't look that much different than what they've been doing.
Right,
they're betting the company on this. So
I've actually been really I admired Fitbit's whole lineup of design. I mean, they're the ones that put the little thing, the pedometer, inside bracelets, and it was very attractive. And in mm-hmm. fact, when my wife was looking through Amazon and looking at bands, there was a bunch of Fitbit cases, and she's like, "I like that," and they don't exist for the Apple Watch. Them going down this direction of trying to make it look like a watch, I think it's the wrong direction. They should stick with the bracelet.
I think you're right.
I'm
sorry, you can't compete with the gorilla, the 800-pound gorilla that is Apple Watch mm-hmm. in the category. You can't out Apple Watch Apple.
Well, they can have some kind of app store or anything, Tom, if they're going to do a watch where can you download apps or do different things than just fitness?
Let's see. According to this article, it said Fitbit has indicated that the watch will have access to an app gallery and that it will offer an SDK after launch.
Mm.
That's
app gallery. So who's going to write apps for it?
I don't know.
Fitbit?
I don't know.
It feels like BlackBerry all over again.
Unfortunately, it does. I mean, I think you're right, Vincent. It's the idea of take what's different about your company, whatever it is, what makes you mm-hmm. unique, and press that, right? Mm-hmm. Make the big thing, you know, and they're just not doing it here. They're trying to please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unfortunate. So we'll see what happens. We can't predict. So
they're going to make a phone next.
yeah, let's... No, I don't think that's going to work. Now we've talked about the LTE on the watch, and there's a great article. This is a 9to5 Mac, and they posed the question, how much would you pay for an LTE Apple Watch and monthly service?
$1.
So I'm going to take this poll here as we talk about it. So the first question is, how much would you pay for an LTE Apple Watch? And your choices are, no more than the current Apple Watch prices, up to $60 more, up to $130 more, or any amount, I just want cellular. So which would you vote for?
Well, if it's the crappy cellular where you're just getting like updates and, you know, keeping the thing in sync, I wouldn't pay more than like $60.
Okay.
But if it's the full on, I can like make a phone call and stuff. Yeah, that'd be worth it.
Then you'd do the fourth one, any amount, huh?
Sure.
Okay, well, let's do the 60, up to 60. Let's go ahead and vote. Okay, overwhelmingly, 66% say no more than the current Apple Watch prices. People are cheap.
Yeah, they are. I voted on that poll. I said $60.
So did I. And yeah, that's... the chart just goes down and down and down as the prices get higher. Come on, you're adding something new to the watch. You're going to have to pay something more for it, right?
I think it's fair to pay something more for more features and functions and something that's that cool and critical. To me, it's the monthly service that you got to really think about.
Okay, so how much would you pay for an LTE Apple Watch monthly service? Your first choice is zero a month. Apple Watch LTE should be free with iPhone cellular service. Up to $5 a month, up to $10 a month, or more.
Well, I would like to see it free, but if they would just say it's another device, kind of like the iPads, I would go $10.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. What do you think, Vincent?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. I mean, so I'm going to choose.
It should be separate.
Yeah, I'm going to choose 10, and let's see what the vote is here. Again, people are so cheap. They want it for free. They want zero.
All right.
They're saying they're, and I guess their case is, I'm already paying for iPhone cellular service. Why should I pay extra for this? Well, what about your iPads? Same thing, right? It's a separate deal. So only 7.8% of people voting on this chose $10 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're all kind of trained that we know it's going to happen and we know we're going to get charged something. We just don't want to believe it.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And then we have to do a weekly patent update here, it seems like. I should have some music for the patent update, shouldn't I? I should get a theme music for that. Apple was granted a pair of Apple Watch Band designs in Hong Kong for the Nike Sport Band. Okay, so this is the existing Nike Sport Band that is now finally has a patent for it. Now, what do you think for the design? Do you think that's going to mean any difference with the counterfeit ones that you get in China on Amazon? Probably not, huh?
No idea. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think it's just to protect themselves for something in the future, because they're going to get knocked off no matter what.
Yeah, it may protect them from lawsuits down the line of someone claiming that they did it first, right?
That one, you stole
my design. No, we have a patent for it. So that may be all this is, because I was worried for a minute when I first saw this. I'm like, wait, no more Nike style bands on Amazon? No, they're still going to be there. And and then this last article is for Vincent. I have a question for you before we get into this one. Are you caught up on Game of Thrones?
I am. I did the mini binge.
Yeah, and last week was OMG. Let's not give away any spoilers here, but
exactly.
It was probably the biggest episode they've ever had. This comes from Mashable. Game of Thrones drama, not action, is what's spiking heart rates on the Apple Watch. So this is so cool. Cardiogram did a deal with a bunch of, they got 300 users to sign up for a What Game of Thrones Does to Your Heart Rate. So they would start recording their heart rate every 5 seconds, because the default is every 5 minutes, at 8:45 p.m. on Sundays, okay? And for those 300 people, it gathered 2.3 million heart rate measurements, and then they charted this whole thing. And then they ranked, and I'm not going to give these away, I'll give you a link to this article in our show notes so you can look at them, but they ranked by episode and the action or what's going on in the scene as the top ones that got people's heart going, which is really cool. I think this is really neat. I love the whole idea of tracking this information when you watch something. And they give you the beats per minute for the scene. And apparently even the anticipation of a new episode got people's heart rate going up before it started.
Just like the Apple Watchcast, man. We should do it for our Watchcast. And at the end of the episode, it'll spike.
I don't know. I think the heart rate might stop with some people.
Exactly. I was just going to say, I mean, you could measure where the most boring parts are.
Exactly. You could find out what's working and what's not. Wow, this is kind of frightening. You know, me and Vincent are both come from a marketing kind of background, working in agencies and this sort of thing. And this type of approach is, you know, it's been done before, but never as easy as it is like through an Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. And the idea that these companies can now get this data is really cool and really frightening at the same time.
Well, Nielsen's going to say that their actual viewers actually have a pulse.
That's true. But does this replace Nielsen down the line? You know, it's like, does this, our storyline's going to be driven by this data? If they find that certain things, you know, cause your heart rate to go up, they may do them, they may start to play with you, right? And do it at certain times. I mean, it opens up a whole different world here.
Yeah.
You could, you can, as new series are kind of premiered before they even get to TV or online, you can premiere it. And if no one's heartbeat changes, they say, oh, we're not going to fund this show.
Exactly. Well, you know, they do. And I remember our media director talking about some of this stuff in the past. This has even been a while back. That they would do, they'd sit people down in a room, they'd have a pilot show, and hook them up to monitor everything. They could tell where they look on the screen, when they're paying attention, when they're not, heart rate, all of that. But you had to be hooked up to all this stuff and sitting in a, you know, in a clinic or facility.
A lab,
yeah,
right.
A lab, basically. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you could just do it at home on your couch, you know, just by tapping a button on your watch, and they get all the data, that's very interesting.
And not to, I don't want to have any spoilers either, but this article has kind of the top five, I think, or top four scenes.
Right.
The top scene is a good 10 to 11% higher than the other scenes. So
in heart rate.
And it was a very highly actionable moment of what was going to happen. So that scene is pretty awesome. And, you know, that's, you can use that as well to kind of gauge how a TV show is created, you know, get those spikes and maybe advertise right after that, right? As soon as that scene's over, that'll be the high point of the advertising dollar.
Well, exactly. They could charge a lot more for that. I mean,
yeah,
you're right. The number five on this list is 76 beats per minute, but number one on this list is 91 beats per minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was worth it because that was a scene, I'm not giving anything away, that was a scene that people were looking forward to for what season are we on now?
Seven.
Seven years they've been waiting for this, right?
Yeah, I said "oh crap" out loud. I use a different word than "crap," but it's probably the first time in the history of me watching anything on TV or a device that I actually talked to myself.
Yeah, we haven't yet, but we're going to watch it again.
There you go.
And we're going to watch it again right before tonight's episode. Just because I have a feeling it's going to pick up right after that. This is so frustrating to talk about it without talking about it. So, welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast. By the way, there's some really good podcasts out there for Game of Thrones if you want to check those out.
Yeah, this season, I mean, in terms of measuring the activity with your heart rate, this season has been mostly, I guess without saying any spoilers, more violence and more character development. But not any sensual scenes, and I'm curious to know whether or not your heart rate goes up then.
Yeah, there might be some episodes in the first six or seven seasons you were like, your heart rate goes down because there, you know, in some cases it's a great show, but in some cases you felt it drags a little bit. This season they're moving it, next season they're moving it. But I agree, Vincent. You know, actually there's a lot more sensual scenes in the first season, I think, just to kind of catch you. It's been a lot less since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're wrapping it up, right? I mean, we don't have that many more to go. So things, the pace is going to be a lot faster now. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I really wish, now that I'm seeing all this happen, I really wish that they would have let this go for at least another full season so it wouldn't have to happen so quickly. But anyway. All right, I think that's it for the news. Are you guys ready to move on?
All right, let's do reviews.
Okay, my heart rate says it's time to move on. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast app reviews.
All right, time for app reviews. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
So I went on your site to make sure this hadn't been reviewed before, and it hadn't. Mm-hmm. The actual Apple Store app that's on your phone and your watch. You guys have reviewed a lot of things that are obviously Apple, but I didn't see anything for the actual Apple Store app.
Oh,
and I kind of came across this because of talking about watch bands. You know, I'd ordered a lot, both, you know, from Clockwork Synergy and the stuff we get from them, as well as Apple. So I was like, I wonder if I can check on my watch. And I was like, well, yeah, the Apple Store app. So I went on the app, my watch, and hit the Apple Store app. and you can do a number of things. So it led me to say, I'm going to go ahead and review it. So I'm sure everyone's used the app on their phone. Obviously, you can search and you can purchase. You can get your history. You can update your account. You can, you know, put a shopping cart together. You can also do things like favorites, where you can put a favorite on a device or a accessory or anything you're going to buy. You can just make a list of favorites and eventually go purchase them. So what's really cool is on your watch, there's four different things you can do. And when you open the app, it just shows these four things listed in order. The first one is your orders. The second one is your My Favorites. The third is your nearest store. And then the fourth is workshops and events. So just going through each one of these, the orders, you know, you select that. And I don't have anything on order right now, but it's got the full history of all your orders. And then it's just a list, and you can hit any of those to get the details. It shows the picture, how much you paid, when it was delivered. So it's pretty neat. You can reorder things. You can reorder things and pay with Apple Pay. So just like on Amazon, it's just a good inventory of what you have. The second one is My Favorites, and I really hadn't used this, so I went on my phone and picked up four or five things, and you hit the heart icon, just like in Apple Music, and it selects it as My Favorites, and it inventories it. So when you go to your watch, there's your four or five things you selected as favorites, and then you can select those and you can order them. So I guess the favorites is kind of, you know, putting inventory together either for gifts that you want to remind people to buy you, or you don't have time to fully complete the order, which in some cases I'm not really sure why. You could just, you know, order from the favorites, and then it removes it from the favorite. The nearest store is kind of cool. I just punched that up from where I am. I'm in Northeast Ohio, and I know where the store is. But
you gave away your location.
I did. So there's a store 13 miles from me, and of course I've been there many times with my parents and family. But the cool thing is it shows it on a map. It gives you the phone number. There's a button to say, you know, call store. You touch the map and it launches Apple Maps. And from your current location, it will calculate the route for you and load it up on your watch so you can drive there. So that's pretty neat. And then the workshops and events. What I noticed on that one is, you know, I don't know how many of you all have signed up for events. I've done it a few times at the local store in Tennessee where I live. But the cool thing, this listed all the events that they could find. I'm not really sure. I didn't really investigate it, but there's obviously events and activities at the Apple Store, but there were some events and activities outside the Apple Store. And that was kind of neat, like I guess some webcasts they offer for training and things like that. So anyway, I mean, it's a pretty neat little app. I had never, ever used it until I wanted to check, you know, what watch bands I had recently bought on Apple to show my mom, because I was saying, hey, do you like this one? Do you like this one? I was flicking through them on my watch. So that's it. It's a nice app, and I would highly recommend, you know, integrating and using it.
Yeah, I mean, it comes on your watch, right? I mean, it's not something you have to actually download. Yeah, I'm looking at the events also here in our area, and I get like basics for the iPhone is at the Houston Galleria today. Mm-hmm. At the First Colony Mall, there's Kids Hour, creating music with GarageBand. Highland Village has a how to edit and mix music on your Mac. There's a photo walks developing your style at Highland Village. So there's a number of different things you can do with those events. It's kind of cool. You have them right there on your wrist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is when you're at the store and you can pay with the Apple store app, and then you just take it and leave.
That is weird. Weird. You feel like you're stealing, but you're not, right?
Right. Exactly.
Well, that's cool. Thanks for reminding us of that, Chris. I had not actually opened that app in a while.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. All right. Vincent, well, what do you got?
Yeah. Speaking of the Apple Store app, that's where I got my latest app.
Okay.
If you go to the app and you scroll all the way down, usually they have a featured app that's kind of a bonus app that they give you. This month, I guess, or I don't know how long they run these things for, is InFilter, which is surprisingly, I just downloaded it just for the sake of it because it was there. It turned out to be have an Apple Watch component as well. And so I'm reviewing that one. It's I-N-F-L-T-R. I guess they don't like vowels or something. But it's basically an app. It's free. It's usually $1.99, so that's a good deal, right? So it's essentially a camera and filtering app. So like Instagram and everything else of what it used to be. But what's cool is that you can use a digital crown and you move a cursor around the center that to change the different color spectrums. And on the fly, you can take pictures that have a filter applied to them.
Ooh, this is neat.
So yeah, pretty cool app in terms of like being able to create filters like that. When it first loads, you have three buttons, or actually, it asks you to open the camera app. I'm gonna pause it real quick as my clock chimes here. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I hear in the background. I wonder what that was. Is it a bird or something?
Yeah. I have a clock that basically at the top of the hour will will sing a bird song.
Okay, that's fine.
So anyways, on the Apple Watch, once you enable it, it'll tell you to open up your to touch the button that to launch the camera. It doesn't work. I mean, you have to open up the app itself and then turn on the camera. So that I haven't seen that feature work. So once you do that, the InFilter app is up, the camera is up and running. You can use the digital crown to change colors, like I said. You can also use your finger and kind of move around the screen and change the color and effect. You cannot see a preview on your watch like you would, like you can with the native camera app, because, well, you're using it as a palette. There's three buttons. There's a 3-second delay one. There's a button for actually taking the picture and a shuffle icon for randomizing the different filters. There's also a funny bouncing arrow to the top right, which it confused me. Apparently it indicates that you're supposed to turn your digital crown to get started, but since I have my watch inverted, the digital crown's on the bottom left.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little confusing. You can also, like I said, tap around the screen, change filter. Once you take the picture, you can go to your phone and you can make further adjustments there. I've got a whole bunch of things that you can do, the typical stuff like brightness, saturation, and contrast. You can straighten it, rotate it, change the perspective, all that stuff. But what's neat is that you can go all the way back to the bottom right of the menu and undo everything. And that's when I discovered that when you actually take the picture, it just takes the raw picture and applies the filter to it. So if you really wanted to undo everything and just use a normal picture, it's there as well. You can save over the existing picture that you have once you've created your filters, save a copy or export. Like I said, it's normally $1.99. It's free now on the Apple Store app. And you can buy a whole bunch of other in-app purchases for like $2 a piece or $7 all-you-can-eat kind of package as well. So there it is, InFilter.
It says $1.99. You said it was free?
If you go to the Apple Store app and download it from there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm looking just at iTunes.
iTunes, it's $1.99.
Right. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
So you found that, Vincent, on the bottom of the Apple Store app on your phone?
Right.
Okay, I'll have to keep track of that. I bet they have some good stuff.
It's kind of towards the middle now. They move it around.
Yeah, pretty neat. Pretty All right. neat.
Cool. Okay, as I promised last week, I had the Twistoflex band from Spiedel, and that's Speidel. They've been making this style of watch band since the 50s, I think, from what I could find. I found some really cool old ads that they used to do.
This is the original manufacturer?
Yes, the original manufacturer.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's what makes it so cool. Wow. And these ads used to, I don't know if anyone remembers seeing any of these ads, but they used to tie the watch band into a knot kind of show how durable or super durable it is. And they had some celebrities do it and stuff. I mean, from the 50s, the 60s, all that sort of stuff. I remember growing up, even in the 70s, they were still very popular. Well, now they have a version for the Apple Watch. And I love this retro feel combined with the high tech of the Apple Watch. It's really cool. This band will set you back $50. So it's not overly priced, considering it's the only one of its kind. for the Apple Watch. I'm not sure that there are any knockoff versions on Amazon from China. There may be, but I've not seen them yet. So this may be the only place you can get this. I love how easy the band is to put on. It's a metal link bracelet that stretches, basically. It's a stretchable, twisty, hence the name Twistoflex. But it stretches. You simply stretch it to put it on your wrist. It only comes in one size, and most people will probably have to remove some links for a proper fit. And that's where you may have some problems. First of all, because it stretches, getting an accurate fit is not as easy as other metal link bracelets, okay? Because you have to figure what size it's going to be when it's not stretched, okay? Which is a little, it's hard to tell because the links are not very thick. They're very kind of thin style links. So counting the right amount out, it could be an issue to get the exact size that you need. The mechanics of the design make removing these links much more difficult. It's a bit of surgery to get it done right. You must use a magnifying glass as well. There's some very small parts and pins here to work with. Now, I managed to get what I thought was the right number of links out, but it's still a little bit snug on my wrist. So I probably need to add back just one more link, and that's going to be very tough to do, which is even more surgery. So I'm not looking forward to that, but it's okay as it is, but I think it might be a little bit more comfortable with one more link added back. Now, you can take this to a jeweler, and they can resize it for you. I'm not sure what that would cost. I'm a bit of a DIYer, so, which is not always to my benefit. But so I did this myself. If you're considering taking things like this apart and you have the right tools, go for it. You can find instructions that are on Spiedel's website at spiedel.com. That's SPEIDEL.com. You can order the watch band there, or you can get it from Amazon. I think it's the same price on Amazon. However, when you first go to Spiedel's website, you're going to get a pop-up for a 10% off, 10% discount. So take advantage of that. So anyway, I guess it's a thumbs up on the band and a thumbs down on kind of the resizing and the fact that they don't offer this in several sizes. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them offer a small, medium, and large. So it would just make life so much easier.
Yeah, save you a lot of time.
And by the way, if you have a hairy wrist, you will experience hair getting pinched in the band from time to time, but it might just be because mine is a little bit too tight. I think if it was a little bit looser, I might not have that problem. Otherwise, I love it. I love this cool band. It's a neat style.
No, Tom, I think one of the very first watches I had that was really good, back in the day, I won't say how old I am, I remember it pinching my wrist, and I don't have a really hairy wrist, but it just did.
Yeah.
But they are kind of cool. And I also remember they were really a pain to size. So I guess they haven't changed that.
No, and they can't just by the nature of the design.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, when I first got it, and I took it out of the case, before I took it apart, I tied it into a knot just to see if I could. And you can tie it into a knot and untie it, and it's fine. It's pretty funny. All right, I think it's time to move on.
The Apple Watchcast. Listener feedback.
First one here is from Jonathan. Says, "Hey Tom, just thought I'd give you a solution to the problem you're having with the floodlight cam. I was also getting constant notifications, so I set up motion scheduling to turn the notifications off during the times I know I am in and out of the garage frequently. Worked like a charm. Keep up the good work. My best, Jonathan." Yeah, thank you for that, Jonathan. That does work. Sometimes it's I forget to turn it back on. So I don't know if that's really an answer for me. I'm just going to have to put up with it for now. Not really Apple Watch related, but we did mention it on the show. And then Miles says, "Hey guys, to answer your question, I haven't gotten any complaints about an echo on phone calls on watchOS 4. Also, there's a new feature in watchOS 4 Apple didn't mention in the keynote, and no one has written in about it. One of the things that annoyed me on watchOS 1 through 3 was that when you would get a notification and then get another notification, and the first notification would block the second notification. Sorry if that's a little wordy. On watchOS 4, there's a new user interface. When you get more than one notification, a little bubble shows up that says the number of notifications. It fades away and then shows every notification in a list so you can scroll through. Well, that's kind of handy. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that actually. That is kind of neat.
Yeah. Also, huge updates to the now plain user interface. If you use the Now Plain complication on your watch face, it showed the song playing in the built-in iOS music app in watches OS 1 through 3. In watch OS 4, it shows media from any app, including Safari, YouTube, and Spotify. Also, if you are playing something on your iPhone and you raise your wrist, it shows a UI with media controls without having to navigate through the watch OS. This works on the built-in music app, Spotify, Netflix, YouTube, Safari, and more. Thanks for the great show, Miles. Nice. There's some nice additions to the OS there. Thanks for bringing us up to date there, Miles. And I apologize, Miles. When we did our video episode, I meant to have you on, and we just never got around to it. So I apologize for that. And then Christopher says, Overcast developer Nix's standalone podcast on Apple Watch. You know, he's linking to the article that we just talked about in the show today. Says it seems like podcast support generally and especially on the watch is an afterthought to Apple. I feel like they constrain developers who want to deliver a better experience for podcasters and listeners. I wish Apple wouldn't cede this portion of their business to Google, YouTube, and others. What do you all think? Cheers, Christopher Cummings. What do you guys think about that? Do you think Apple is not showing the love for podcasting these days?
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah,
they kind of created this whole thing, didn't they?
Right. Yeah.
Well,
it is kind of odd why it's not a priority. It just doesn't seem to be a priority. It's probably on someone's list, but they're working on other things first.
Yeah, it's not like they have like billions of dollars in the bank and they can hire people to do this, you know?
Yeah.
But I think this was more of a priority when Steve was around. Mm-hmm. I think he enjoyed shaking up industries like this. And sadly, that's just not the case anymore, that they seem to be more bottom line focused, if you will.
Yeah. Maybe they haven't been able to monetize podcasts in a way, like music.
Yeah. And FYI, I got a notification. There's a podcast documentary that's now on iTunes. It's coming out soon. You can pre-order it. I think it's like $6. That someone did on the whole industry of podcasting. That's pretty cool. I can't remember the name of it right off.
That'd be neat.
But I pre-ordered it. I think it's going to be awesome. If you want to help support podcasting, it'd be a good thing to go ahead and pre-order that. Just go to iTunes and search podcast documentary. You'll probably find it. I think it's coming out here in about a week. And then from Facebook, we had Tim Guerin says, love you guys. Just had to share this photo with you. I attended the Classic East concert in New York City tonight and noticed that the trombone player for Steely Dan had on an Apple Watch. I couldn't help but laugh, though, because I figured if I was a trombonist, I would be wearing it on the wrist that does all the work to get my move goal. Just thought that was too funny not to share. Thanks for all you do and keep it up. And he put a photo there. They had the big Jumbotron image of him playing the trombone, and there's an Apple Watch. He's got it circled in red. Well, thanks for sharing that, Tim. That's pretty funny. Steely Dan.
Well, you know, I saw there's a show called Ozark on Netflix. I'm not sure if you guys watch it, but I highly recommend it. It caught me in the first 10 seconds.
That's an amazing series.
So
yeah.
Go watch Ozark.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a scene in there where they're about to do some torture, and the dude's got an Apple Watch that's about to do the torturing. I'm like, hey, maybe there's an app in there, you know, that keeps track of what the pain he's created or something.
The level
that's
of pain.
That's activity for you. Yeah. Both activity ring by torturing today.
Yeah.
That's a whole different activity ring, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. What torture app to use?
That is a great series, by the way. We binged that whole thing. And you know what else I noticed is that the main character, that was a Jason Bateman, right? His iPhone has the battery, the hump back case throughout the whole series. His phone always has that battery case.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he never wants to be without battery, which I guess is important for his character. Anyway, let's see what else here from Facebook. Rayburn says, a longtime listener, love the show. I bought an original beta Apple Watch almost 2 years ago. I had to have my iPhone 7 that had to be replaced because of cellular radio issues. During the process of reinstalling everything on the new phone, my Apple Watch became bricked, i.e. it wouldn't do anything. When they sent me a replacement watch under the AppleCare plan, I got a new Series 1. The biggest difference I noticed is that the faster processor, especially for apps. I'm hoping the next Apple Watch will have an onboard cellular radio to enhance the independence from the iPhone. I think you're going to get your wish there. I think that's definitely going to happen. And then Debbie says, love my red RAF band. I guess that's the Clockwork Synergy. Thanks for another great show, interview, and discount too. By the way, I have tried a watch-to-watch call with my niece. It worked great. No echo or feedback. Both of us have Series 1. I sold my beta for about $150 to buy the new one. Sad, but glad at the same time. By the way, Vincent, I think you must watch a minimum of 2 episodes at a time to qualify as binge watching. So she's talking about the you were going to binge watch Game of Thrones. So
right.
Yeah. Did you end up doing it one at a time, or did you do many at a time?
Just back-to-back evenings.
Yeah. It was only like 4 of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. 4 evenings in a row.
Wow. That's a lot of Game of Thrones. That's a lot of action. Anyway, thanks for all of your emails, tweets, reviews, and ratings. Send us an email or leave us a review on iTunes, and we'll try to read it here on the show. We really do love to hear from you. And if you haven't yet, please take a moment and leave us a review on, or even just a rating. It takes a second on iTunes, and it all helps keep us on the radar to find new listeners. And I love to read the reviews on iTunes. I check that from time to time, and I'd love to see some new ones there. So check that out if you get a moment. Any last words before we dock this week's show into nightstand mode?
Nope. Looking forward to calling in on my watch one day.
Yes, very soon. Looking forward to it. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. Again, if you'd like to support this show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast and select whatever level you'd like to subscribe to and get all sorts of great stuff for subscribing. It doesn't cost a lot. That helps us to continue producing this show. Links to some of the stuff we talk about at each and every show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, and don't forget to post a review while you're there. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com, and we'll try to address it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.